it's very, very encouraging to me to speak from time to time. The lesson is, what will sustain you in the last days? And I want to thank Rusty for reading 2 Timothy 3, 17 verses of that, because that is the text for the lesson. I'm not going to read that again, but did you notice in that reading that there are difficult times and evil that Paul speaks of? And it adequately describes our day for a lot of people. We can look around and see the things, and they seem to be growing worse and worse as time goes on. We are in 2019. I have seen a lot in 40 years. And it is getting worse and worse. In the midst of the wickedness, I want to ask you, what is your most valuable and most valuable possession? Question is it your car? Is it your house? Is it your 401k retirement plan? My question to you tonight is, which of these things, or is there anything of sub-material value that will sustain you in the last days? Go to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And let's see what is the basis of our health and strength in the midst of these perilous times and wicked times. Verse 16 and 17 says, all creature is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is the Bible, or the scriptures that you hold in your hand, that we are reading from tonight. They will equip us for every good work. What I want to do tonight is take this familiar passage, verse 16 and 17, and others in 2 Timothy 3, and dissect it and make us better appreciate it and remind ourselves of the Bible's great value. First, the scripture is inspired of God. What this means is that the scripture is God-breathed. Go to 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. And let's see, how did God make known his word? Verse 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians 3, 1 through 4. Ephesians 3, 1 through 4. The scripture says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He did this by revelation, and he did this also, if you remember right, it was by the Holy Spirit, it said in 2 Peter 1. Although men wrote the Bible and wrote these scriptures, it was by the Holy Spirit that they were able to do so. In the scriptures, we find the message of God, and he spoke exactly the way he intended it. We're not to add to, and we're not to take away from whatever he says. If we are to restore New Testament Christianity in every age, which we are, we must go to the book always. And if we do more or less, like I just said, then what God breathed, then we have failed him, and we failed to do his will. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. It says, "I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you, then let him be accursed." Are we to preach any other gospel? No. The scripture said, if you preach another gospel, you will be accursed. And he said it not once, but twice. So, well, I've always been taught, if you say it once, you better listen. Say it twice, you really better listen and you better pay attention to what is being said and do what is being said. Go to John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. What shall we know? And what shall make us free? John 8, 31 beginning says, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. If we don't follow the word of God, then we will not make heaven. And heaven needs to be our home. And God wants it to be our home. But only we can decide whether we want heaven or do we want eternal damnation. Go to 2 John 9. 2 John 9. And this verse will tell us if we don't abide, well. 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you have transgressed his laws. And also, if you don't abide in him, you don't have him or the Son. But if we do abide in him, we have both Father and Son. God has breathed us a message. And those who desire to be God's followers should always consistently and carefully consider his word and do his word. Next, the scriptures are profitable. I am afraid too many of us often we look right over the word being profitable. If something is profitable, it is useful, it's valuable, it's helpful, and it's worthwhile. The scriptures are worthwhile. Go to 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. What is profitable for all things? 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promises of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable for all things. And we have the promise, because we have life now, but if we let it profit us for godliness, we have a promise of the life that is to come. Next, the scriptures are profitable for teaching. Go to Matthew 15, verse 9. Matthew 15, 9. And let's see what they use to teach as doctrine. Matthew 15:9 says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of men, the commandments of men." They use the commandments of men. Teaching is often translated doctrine. But doctrine literally means teaching. So, do you have the teaching? Do you follow the teachings of God? Or do you follow the commandments of men? Hope and pray that every one of us follow the teachings of God, because teachings of God will get you to heaven if you follow the teachings of God, but not the commandments of men. The scriptures teach us what we need to be taught, and they teach us what is right. What are we to do according to, go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. But fearing God in this verse is not to be afraid of God, but to reverence God. And reverence him. And keep his commandments. There is no other book that can adequately answer these questions except the Bible. The scriptures are profitable for reproof. To reproof is convict, to prove, proof. an inner persuasion that allows us to see ourselves as God sees us, and to see the truth that God has revealed it. And it will tell me when I'm wrong. Man must be convicted of the fact. Go to Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. And let's see what attributes are clearly seen. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." His eternal power, God's eternal power, is clearly seen. And God, Jesus, and the Spirit are clearly seen as well through God, the scriptures. Go to Romans 3:23. Which is a very familiar passage. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who has sinned? All have sinned. Not just me, not just you, every one of us has sinned. But go to Romans 6:23. Keying in on, even though I'm going to read the whole verse, but keying in on part B. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, what did God promise? If we are forgiven, he promises eternal life. But only you can decide if you want that eternal life. Go to John 20:30-31. John 20:30-31. What is the Bible able to do? John 20:30, beginning. It says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The Bible tells us and shows us that Jesus is his son. Jesus, the Father shows us that Jesus is his son, and he is who he says he is. Go to 2 Timothy 3 again. Verses 5, beginning. It's verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9. And let's see what Paul points out that is wrong for us to do. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, beginning. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. So it tells us not to deny his power and not to resist the truth. Look in verse 12 through 14 of 2 Timothy 3. What attitudes do we need to add to our lives? 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We must follow the word which we have learned and been assured of. And it said, continue in what you have learned. Not go to Buddha or Muhammad. You must follow God. He has the words which we need. The scriptures are profitable, and they enable us to keep our physical vehicles or even ourselves between the ditches of life and between the roads of life. Because if we follow the word of God, we're going to know how and what to do. The scriptures are probable for training in righteousness. Our word righteousness It's an interesting word. It's got two words, but they've been shut together. It was formerly spelled called rightwiseness, which is not wisdom, but it's akin to it. Let's go to Romans 1:16-17. Romans 1:16-17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" The gospel is the right way, and it's God revealed. So we have this training in righteousness, which is found in the Bible. The only way for us to have the faith is go to God for everything. The Word of God can be very functional in our lives if it is applied. But some people don't want to apply it. But if it is applied, it can be functional. When applied, it is proper to train and instruct us what the right way of God is. The scriptures adequately equip us for every good work. Applying the instruction of the Bible, it needs to be your everyday reading, and you need to find out how to live, and it equips us totally for how to live, what to do. It does all that. Go to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Whose workmanship are we? Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are God's and Jesus' workmanship. If it's a good work, it's gonna be found in the scriptures. If it's not in the scriptures, then it's not a good work. And so, even if some churches of Christ are doing something, it's not a good work if it's not in the Bible. If it is a good work, it will be authorized and be found in God's scriptures. Without the authority, we cannot do it in His name. And therefore, it's not a good work. In conclusion, all scripture is inspired by God. It is a God-breathed message, and it will be profitable for teaching us what is right. It will be able to convict us. It will be able to tell us what is wrong. Question I have for you tonight. How do we feel about our Bibles? Are you using them as appliance in your life to sustain you in the perilous times? Are you allowing it to be functional to its capacity to guide you in your path toward heaven? If you are a Christian and need to, maybe you fell away and need to come back to the Lord, do that tonight while you have breath. But if there is someone here tonight that has not rendered obedience to thy gospel and to the Bible, then do that as well tonight as we stand and sing.